Okay, let's dive in. We're tackling, well, a really complex topic today, launching a commercial trucking company.
It's definitely a regulated space.
Right. We're doing a deep dive into what it actually takes. You know, the sheer mountain of paperwork and rules you face, going from just an idea or even just having a truck to being a fully legal motor carrier. We're looking at it through the lens of services like this Authority Launchpad One. It's aimed at new folks, owner operators trying to get their own authority.
The goal being to sidestep those costly rookie mistakes, which are unfortunately pretty common.
Exactly. And the number of registrations, they're all interconnected. It's kind of staggering. So, where do we even begin with all this?
Well, you absolutely have to start at the foundation. That means getting your legal identity set up with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, the FMCSA.
Okay, the federal level first. Yes.
That involves getting your MC number and your DOT number. These are essential. Without them, you're basically just someone with a truck, not a recognized motor carrier.
Right. But I've heard getting the numbers themselves, that part isn't like the hardest hurdle. Is there something specific that trips people up right at the start, stops them cold?
Oh, definitely. It's often the BOC3 filing, the designation of process agents.
BOC3. Sounds like legal jargon.
It does, yeah, but it's absolutely critical for activating your operating authority. You basically have to do it.
Okay, why? What does it actually do?
It registers a legal agent for your company in every single state. So if legal papers need to be served, there's someone designated to receive them no matter where you operate.
Okay, so the government or anyone can legally find you, basically.
Exactly. If you skip that BOC3 or mess it up, your whole authority application just stalls. It won't move forward.
That makes sense. You need that legal reach established before you can actually start moving freight across state lines.
Precisely.
Okay, so moving on from that initial identity setup, this is where I think it gets really interesting. The logistics of actually, moving state to state.
Right, the interstate operations part.
Yeah. Once you've got your federal ID, what's the next big wall? Tax stuff, registrations.
Both, really. This is where you get into IFT and IRP.
Ah, yes, the famous alphabet soup. IFT first.
Sure. IFT is the International Fuel Tax Agreement. That's how you register to handle fuel taxes across different states. You track miles, pay taxes quarterly.
Okay, fuel tax and IRP.
IRP is the International Registration Plan. That's the big one for your truck's license plates, the apportioned plates or cab cards. That's what physically allows your truck to operate legally across state lines.
Got it. But here's the kicker I've heard about. There's a dependency, right? You can't just like fill out the IRP form and get your plate sent to you.
No, absolutely not. This is a classic trap for new entrants. It's all about the sequence.
What's the sequence then?
Before you can finalize that IRP registration and actually get your plates, you first have to file Form 2290.
Form 2290. That's the heavy vehicle use tax, HVUT.
Correct.
Yeah.
The HVUT. And crucially, you don't just file it, you need proof you've paid it. You need the official stamped Schedule I back from the IRS.
Wow, okay.
And without that specific stamped document, the state where you're registering for IRP, they simply won't issue your apportioned plates. Period.
So let me get this straight. You need a tax receipt just to get your license plates registered for interstate travel.
You got it. That's the interdependency. No stamped Schedule I, no IRP completion, no cab card.
Okay, that linkage, the 2290 Schedule I needed for IRP. That feels vital to understand. So we've got identity, state line taxes, and registration. What about safety and fleet compliance? Those have to be in place before you roll.
Absolutely. Before that truck moves commercially, yes. First, there's the UCR filing Unified Carrier Registration. That basically registers your fleet size with the national system. It's an annual thing.
UCR, okay. Fleet registration, what
Then
else?
comes a really critical safety piece, setting up your drug and alcohol consortium program.
Right, the DNA testing.
Yeah, but it's more than just testing. You have to enroll the company itself and all your CDL drivers into a compliant random testing pool, a consortium. And equally important now, you must set up your company's profile in the FMCSA's Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse.
The clearinghouse, okay, and you have to designate someone there too, right?
Yes, you have to designate your CTPA, that's your consortium third-party administrator, within the clearinghouse system.
Why is that clearinghouse set up so, I guess, non-negotiable? What's its specific job for the FMCSA?
The clearinghouse is fundamental now. It's not just some database, it's the official central federal system for tracking all drug and alcohol violations for all CDL drivers nationwide.
Wow, okay, central tracking.
Every motor carrier must use it. You have to query it before hiring any new driver, and you have to run checks annual queries on all your current drivers.
So it's the government's main tool for monitoring safety compliance on this issue.
Exactly. If your company profile isn't active in there, and if you haven't correctly designated your CTPA, you are simply not compliant. You can't legally employ CDL drivers.
Okay. So bringing this all together, what does this mean for, you know, the owner-operator listener thinking of taking the plunge?
Well, it means that getting your authority isn't just one step.
Right. This launchpad idea covers, what, at least 8 major, distinct, and often interconnected steps we just talked about. MCDOT numbers.
The BOC3 filing.
IFTA registration. IRP plates.
Paying that crucial form 2290 tax first.
The UCR fleet registration.
Getting into a DNA consortium and setting up the clearinghouse profile properly.
It's a lot, and it really highlights that maybe the biggest hurdle isn't always just affording the truck. It's mastering the sequence and the timing, these dependencies between forms, like needing that 2290 tax receipt just to unlock your plates through IRP.
That's often the reality, yes.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on. Can you think of another industry that has such a complex, tightly woven web of requirements where getting one piece of paper is the absolute key to unlocking a completely different but equally necessary piece just to legally open your doors? It really makes you think about the barriers to entry here.